दोस्तों, हम लोगों को अक्सर ये कहते सुनते हैं कि नाम में क्या रखा है, लेकिन अगर मैं आपको यह बताऊं कि आपके नाम को कैसे सही से बोला जाए, यह भी एक बड़ा काम है, तो आप आश्चर्यचकित होंगे। हमारी आज की मेहमान फियोना प्राइस एक क्रॉस कल्चरल कंसल्टेंट है। फियोना मैंडरिन और थोड़ी सी हिंदी भी जानती है। फियोना ऑस्ट्रेलिया के कई नामी विश्वविद्यालयों में अपनी एशियाई भाषाओं की जानकारी से वहां होने वाली ग्रेजुएशन सेरेमनी के दौरान भारतीय और कई एशियाई विद्यार्थियों के नामों को कैसे सही से लिया जाए, यह सुनिश्चित करती हैं। तो आइए जानिए फियोना से इस काम में उनकी दिलचस्पी, समस्याओं, कुछ रोचक प्रसंग और भारतीय और चीनी विद्यार्थियों की सोच के अंतर को। फियोना, सबसे पहले तो आप हमें यह बताएं कि आपने क्रॉस कल्चरल कंसल्टेंट बनने की कैसे ठान ली।
Effectively, I was primed to be a cultural diversity expert from birth. I was actually raised in a family which was divided not just by culture, but also by class, religion, and education level. My parents are demographically very, very different. My father is Anglo-Australian, and he was born into a poor working class family and got a scholarship to a privileged school. Eventually, he got a master's degree in chemistry, and he's an atheist, and he's very science-minded. My mother is Chinese and was born into a quite wealthy family in Penang in Malaysia. She left school at 16 and was a devout Christian. So having to negotiate such very different parents taught me a lot about managing diversity. To this day, I still speak to my father about intellectual things in an Australian accent and to my mother about domestic things in a Malaysian accent. In terms of my educational background, I actually went to a school which had 30% Australian-born Chinese in it and did well enough to do medicine, but made the shocking decision to do an arts degree instead in Mandarin and psychology. It all turned out well for me because I ended up getting first-class honours in psychology and getting a scholarship to study in China, where I got first-hand experience of being an international student. That's effectively something which was quite influential in my career because it established my Mandarin and it also helped me get into PhD scholarship to begin a PhD in cross-cultural psychology at the University of Melbourne. Now, towards the end of that, I got a casual job working as a trainer, training international students in how to adapt to the Australian education system. About 18 months later, I was promoted to manager. 18 months after that, I actually started my own consultancy on cultural diversity issues.
किसी को नामों के बारे में ट्रेनिंग देना अनोखा काम है और वह भी विश्वविद्यालयों में। जब आपने यह काम शुरू किया, तो आपको किन शुरुआती समस्याओं का सामना करना पड़ा?
Probably the initial problem was convincing people that my flagship program, working with Asian names, would actually be of interest to the staff at their organization. On the face of it, it doesn't sound like a really crucial issue. It sounds like quite a trivial thing. But the more, when you actually talk to people on the ground, you find that names are actually a very significant part of people's day-to-day work. Every time you address someone in person, ask for them on the phone, send them an email or a letter, print their name in an email account address or maybe in something, you need to use their name correctly. And so while it's not obvious to people who are managing the training program, it's actually quite obvious to people who are working day to day with people from a range of cultures.
आप ज्यादातर विश्वविद्यालयों में शिक्षकों और प्रशासकों को एशियाई नामों को बोलने का प्रशिक्षण देती हैं। तो क्या कुछ खास देशों के बारे में ही ये प्रशिक्षण होता है?
I generally specialize in Chinese cultures and languages because I am half Chinese and I've spent quite a lot of time in Chinese-speaking parts of the world. But I also sort of broaden my range to cover most of the sort of cultures which are strongly represented in Australian society.
Fiona, हमने देखा है कि हॉलीवुड से आने वाली फिल्मों में खास तौर पे भारतीय नामों का मजाक सा उड़ाया जाता है। दक्षिण भारतीय नामों की बात कर लीजिए, जो ज्यादातर काफी लंबे होते हैं। क्या आपने ऐसा कुछ यहाँ के विश्वविद्यालयों में भी देखा है?
One of the things I'm often asked to do is write phonetic spellings of names on graduation lists for universities so that the dean, who has to read them out and present the certificate, is able to pronounce them correctly. When it comes to reading a name out at a graduation ceremony, I don't think stereotypes are really coming into play. But certainly, the very long names you'll find in southern India and also in Sri Lanka do tend to pose quite a lot of difficulty for the English-speaking presenters at the ceremony.
Fiona, हमारे सुनने वालों के साथ भारतीय नाम के बोलने या समझने में आई मुश्किलों का कोई ऐसा प्रसंग शेयर करना पसंद करेंगी जिससे समस्या की गहराई का पता चले?
I actually remember one amusing little scenario. A young man who had a very, very long name from India coming to complain to me that Australians were racist because they were making fun of his name. And it didn't actually end up being racism at all. What it was they would try to say his name, which I think was a very long Tamil name, and they'd get about halfway through, and then in very Australian fashion, they'd feel embarrassed because they didn't feel they could say the name, and then they would laugh. Now, because this young man was from India and didn't yet understand the Australian sense of humour, he assumed that they were laughing at him and making fun of his name, and he was very insulted. Whereas for me, understanding the Australian sense of humour, I realised the Australians were laughing at themselves and feeling embarrassed and wondering if they're being culturally insensitive because they can't pronounce his name correctly. So I had quite a job on my hands explaining this to the young Indian man, but I think I eventually sort of helped him become aware of the sense of humour in Australia, and that often Australians, when they laugh, it's a nervous laughter at themselves because they're not feeling equal to the task of pronouncing someone's name correctly.
फियोना, आप अपने काम के सिलसिले में भारत भी जा चुकी है, तो वहाँ जाने से पहले आपके मन में भारत का एक चित्र होगा, और वहाँ जाने के बाद जो आपने देखा, क्या वह वैसा ही था जैसे आपने सोचा था?
With India, I don't know that I had any really concrete preconceptions of India. Certainly, I'd had a reasonable amount of contact with Indian people before I went there. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I went there. I think in Australia at the time, there was a large influx of Indian international students. And I thought, look, if I'm going to be talking about international students, I really need to get a first-hand experience of what their society is like. One of the things that struck me in India was the contrast between India and China, which is a place where I studied for 6 months. So I was there long enough term to get a good understanding of the society. India, there's a much more philosophical kind of atmosphere than there is in China. I remember seeing little signs on nature strips in India, on roads, saying, the man who plants grass is a son of God. And there's a very sort of philosophical, perhaps religious overtone to that. And that's not something you would see in China. Something else that struck me was it's a very different sort of energy in India from China. It's a very sort of colourful, cluttered energy in India. You'll see cows walking in the street. You'll see a mixture of all sorts of different types of transport. Much less so. This is much less the case in China. China's got a much more sort of, perhaps there's more of a focus on business and money making, whereas India has a different sort of flavour to it.
आपने भारत और चीन के अंतर की बात की, तो आप किसी और एक खास अंतर पर रोशनी डालना पसंद करेंगी?
One interesting thing I noticed when I was giving talks in Indian universities is that there's a much stronger culture of political debate in India than I've ever seen among Chinese-speaking students. For example, when I gave a talk at Burdwan University in West Bengal, I had some Indian students actually challenging what I was saying and asking interesting questions such as, why is it that it's the Indians embracing aspects of Western culture and not Westerners embracing aspects of Indian culture? And I thought that's a very interesting and insightful question. That's not something that I tend to hear, that I've actually heard when travelling in East Asia. That was, I think, very much coming from the Indian sort of, a stronger Indian spirit of intellectual debate and philosophy.
Fiona, ऑस्ट्रेलियाई विश्वविद्यालयों में अब नया सेमेस्टर शुरू हो रहा है, तो भारत से आने वाले छात्रों को आप क्या खास टिप्स देंगी यहाँ एडजस्ट करने के लिए?
Perhaps one thing that would be good is to remember with your preconceptions of Australia that when you're getting preconceptions that are secondhand through the media, through your friends who've been there, remember those are very specific to the aims of those people. The media's job is to make a good story. One thing that was beaten up a great deal a few years ago was this idea that Australia is a very racist country. Now, certainly, yeah, there are elements of racism in Australian society, but it's not that they are so much more dire than they are in other societies. It's that racism in Australia makes a really good headline. It makes for great sort of traffic and clicks on a website. When people actually came, I remember there was some media came from India to actually came over to Melbourne to sort of film racism in Australian streets. I always wonder what they actually made of what they saw in the city centre of Melbourne, because the city centre of Melbourne, the most significant group of people on the streets are actually Asian international students. So there they were with their cameras, hoping to find some footage of racist white people, whereas in fact they found streets teeming with mostly students from East Asia.
इस साल कई ऑस्ट्रेलियाई छात्र भी एशिया और भारत का दौरा करेंगे, तो उन लोगों के लिए आप क्या सलाह देंगी?
Look, I'm very strongly in favor. What you see in a classroom in Australia is the international students as something other. You know, they're in the classroom and they're not one of us. And people often, it's easy for Australian students to sort of have stereotypes and limited ideas of them because they don't actually have any understanding of the context they come from. On the other hand, if you take those Australian students and actually show them what it's like being in a classroom in India or in a classroom in China, that helps them understand much better where their classmates from those countries come from. It helps open their eyes and perhaps gives them a slightly more complex view of the world in which you understand that people are coming from a context which is very different from yours. And the things you see in the Australian classroom, where perhaps they're struggling with some of the things expected of them by Australian teachers, actually come from being used to teachers back home who have very different expectations and a very different classroom culture.
Fiona, SBS Hindi se baat karne ke liye bahut bahut dhanyawad.
Thanks very much, Amit.